Okay, first of all, the IT roundtable is tonight, and I think it's worthwhile going to, because they're basically going to be talking about careers in computing and all that kind of stuff. So I think it is a good thing to go to, and if you go and then do a paragraph or so about it, I will give you extra credit. The other reason for going is these people are donating their time, so I like them to have more than three people to donate their time to. I'm taking attendance today just because I'm curious. So please sign up.
Thank you.
Okay, so I am leaving you on Alice to, if you decide to do the extra credit, look at my examples and figure out how it works. And we are going to start working on Visual Basic. So we need to download Visual Basic. So you're going to go in, and it's not in the CIS software. Okay? So what you need to do is go in to all programs. Hello? You're going to go to all programs, pick Microsoft Visual Studio 2012. Microsoft Visual Studio 2012. And then it says Visual Studio 2012, the purple thing with the picture of a monitor, sort of. And click on that. And then patiently wait. And wait. And wait. And wait. And wait. Okay. Mine came up quickly because I had it open before. But if you're sitting at a computer where somebody had it open before, it probably came up quickly. If you are sitting at a computer where somebody didn't have it open, it's going to take its sweet time.
Oh, yeah.
Does
this program work?
Yeah, you can get it. All right, you can get this through DreamSpark. So you can go in and download it through DreamSpark. There is also an express version that Microsoft gives you for free. So if you look up Microsoft Visual Studio 2012 Express, it will let you download the express version for free. And the express version is fine.
Is this it right here? What was on your last
day? I don't know. Is that it?
Yeah, that's fine. It's Blend. No, not Blend.
Oh, then I don't know.
I didn't read the Blend. No.
It might be best for you to download
it. It takes forever to download if you want it at home. The Express version is probably a little bit faster.
Microsoft Studio 2012.
Okay,
I've got
the
old version. Let's go to all programs. What's it called? Start Visual Studio.
Okay, what we're doing is going to all programs, and then when you get to all programs, Visual Studio 2012. And if you click on that, it has another thing that says Visual Studio 2012. And you click on that, and it will download. Okay, so Visual Studio 2012, and then you have another one that says Visual Studio 2012, and that's what you're going to download.
Is this going to be similar to the program that we did last week?
Nope. The logo, the Alice thing, you mean?
Yeah.
That you're on your own on that from this, you know, I gave you an intro to it. And so, no, it's not. Well, all programming is somewhat similar. The other thing while we're waiting for this to download, Thursday we are having a guest speaker come in from Meditech. And Meditech has hired a lot of our students. The person that's coming is an ex-student from ours, and he's coming in to talk about working at Meditech. And so that's going to be for about a half an hour or so on Thursday. And the following week, on Tuesday, Pat McDonough is coming in. He was our SI, like Carolyn, last year. And he got a job, and so he's coming back to talk about the whole, how we went about getting a job, and how he likes his job, and all that good stuff. And that will be next Tuesday. So we're doing, between the IT roundtable, Thursday and next Tuesday, we're doing a blur of career speeches. Each one, when the speaker comes in, they won't be taking the whole time. They just take part of the time and talk about a half an hour. But Pat, I think, is going to hang around, so if people have questions that they want to ask about the whole job hunting process and everything, he would be happy to help. Okay. There is my Visual Studio stat page, and hopefully in the time that I was talking, it came up. Yeah.
I'm going to need a little bit more time, because this computer doesn't have an audit for some reason. That's 2008.
Well, that was the same thing last time. That's
all I can. I tried to put it on this one. But yeah, it's 2008.
Which one was it?
Up, Aaron?
Not yet. Still loading in, I am.
Really? Yeah, but you went out for lunch. Yeah. 2012. You're going to open Microsoft Studio 2012. So you're coming in here, you're going to all programs, and then you are picking Microsoft Visual Studio 2012, and under that, Visual Studio 2012. Okay. How are we doing?
Loading slowly.
No, it takes its sweet time. Okay, you started it?
No, I'm
still
wanting to get there.
Oh, you're still snapped. Well, I'm desktop working. My laptop's already. Okay. Did you find it all right?
Yeah, but for now,
I'm sure. Okay. Okay. Have you all got it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Can you look on with him for a minute while it's loading?
Yeah, I'm going to have to back behind me.
Okay, so I'm doing File, New Project. So I'm going to click on File, New Project. Okay. You click on File, you're going to pick New Project. Okay. File, New Project. File, New Project. Sorry, people at home, I think I've said that 10 times, right? Okay, so File, New Project. Now, what you want highlighted is Windows Forms application, and it should be the default highlight. What you're going to do is fill in the blanks down there, okay? You probably came up with a default to the T drive, because that's what I came up with for the last class. I changed it to the F drive because I want to save it on my flash drive. So I changed it to the F drive so I could save it there. And I am going to call this the first F15. So I typed in the name, the first F15, and notice it duplicated down here. So it's duplicated in its two places. You want to be very sure you name it correctly and that you pick a spot for it, because moving it, you can make mistakes when you try to move it.
Thank you.
So, if you do have to move it, you should close it down and then move it. So, I am putting in the name of the project, the F drive, and the name of the project. And if you don't want the F drive, you can click over here on Browse and pick whatever drive you want. Yours, as I said, probably came up with the T drive. And if you have a flash drive, I would save to your flash drive. Otherwise, T drive is the place to save it. Okay. Michaela, has it come up yet?
I'm logged in, but still trying to open the Visual Studio.
Okay. I'm going to give you time to work on things so you can get caught up. So if you kind of follow along with him, I think you can get caught up. And how is yours coming? He's still lunching. Okay. So, the main thing you want here is you also want to be sure that Create Directory for Solution is checked. And it should be the default check, leave it checked. What that does is it creates a folder that is going to handle, have your answer in it, your program in it. And when you send things to me, you are going to basically zip up the folder and send me the folder, because there's a lot of components that go into making these programs. And so you're going to zip up the folder and send me the folder. Okay, so the name of the folder that you're going to zip up will be the same as the solution name. So it will be the first F15. If you download the Express version, one of these is missing. I think it's the solution name. And once you save it, then it figures out the solution name. But if you are using the Express version at home, you'll only have two things to fill in, not three. Okay? So, now I am going to click OK. Okay? And then we're going to wait some more. And again, I waited less than you because I'd already done this. But if you were sitting at a computer where it didn't happen, then you have a longer wait.
Great.
Okay, so you should have four things that come up. This is the form. And Visual Basic is visual because we work through a form so much. And we're going to design a form and then we're going to fill in the data on the form and have buttons to do calculations and all that kind of stuff.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
A lot of them aren't showing the toolbox. Do you want to just say how to bring up the toolbox?
They're not showing that. Okay. Click on this right up here. That little arrow thumbnail thing.
Also on the left, it'll say toolbox sideways. You can click on that.
Right, right. If it says that over on the side.
How do you move the form box?
You can click on to see where it says toolbox over to the side. If it says toolbox over to the side, then you can click on it to bring it up.
And then click on the little middle pin to get it.
Yeah.
So you see those.
This little pin here anchors. And so if you click on that little pin, it will anchor it.
Uh-oh.
Have you got the
oil up?
Okay,
so you
right.
I can't do anything. I lost my form box. So.
I
you're
now already off.
Right.
So I.
You brought up Maple Studio?
Yeah, so this one's floating in all the settings.
See, the pin anchors things.
Oh, there's more.
And if you close the pin, if you close the pin, it goes over to the side. And if you click on the pin on the toolbox and then click on the pin, it anchors it.
How do I get my form box back on the same window?
Thank you.
It's a separate window now.
Wait a minute. Carol, can you... She's standing there, so... What do you mean on the same window?
That's pretty bizarre.
It's a separate window.
Congratulations. Okay, has everybody got what I've got now?
Yeah.
I know you don't. Okay. Look over somebody's shoulder, I would suggest. Okay, so what I've got is, this is the toolbox. And if you don't see it, if you see it down the side, rip on the side, you click on it and then click on the pin and it will anchor it. The pin anchors. So now what I've got is, I've got the label, I've got the text boxes that I want to use, I've got buttons that I want to use, are all in the toolbox. And those are the things that I can put on the form. Over here, I have the name of the project, and I have Form 1. This is Form 1. Down the side, I've got properties. And the properties are the properties of the object, whatever object I'm talking about. Right now, okay, everybody quiet for a minute, please. I have the, this is the object I'm talking about. Form 1 is the object. So, if I look at Form 1, actually, I can come down and change the text of Form 1 by scrolling down here. Okay, and I'll do that in a second. Right now, they have this box here checked, which means that these things are going to show up in category. I like them a lot better when they show up in alphabetical order. So if I click this second box in, it shows up in alphabetical order. So I recommend clicking this box here, the second box in. Under Form 1, the second box in. So now if I want to, I can find the word text. And see the word text down here, and it says Form 1? I can change that text to say the first form, or anything else I wanted to say. And notice, the text that I put here is now up on the form. So I've now said that's the name of the form. Okay, now what I want to do is I'm going to take things over and put them on the form. So I'm going to take a label over. So I click on label, and I can drag it, or I just took it and drew it. And I can draw it anywhere I want to, and it will do what it wants to do, which is make a box that size. Notice as soon as I put that label on, the properties now are talking about label one. So the properties are now talking about that. Well, I don't want to call it label one. I'm going to change the name. And I'm going to call it, if I can get up there, I'm going to call it LBL name. Because I'm going to put a name in there. So under name, if you scroll down here, it's parenthesis name. I am calling it LBL name. LBL name. Now, LBL stands for labels. TXT I put in front of text box names. BTN I put in front of button names, and there are others as well, but these are the ones we're going to use right now. You can actually call this anything you want to, but if you want to look like you know what you're doing, then you'll call it LBL and something after it. And the something after it starts with a capital. So this is LBL capital N A-M-E. Capital N A-M-E. After LBL. And then I said, okay, now I want it to say, not label one, but I want it to say name. So I'm going to scroll down here till I find text. And text says label one right now, but I want to change that. And I'm going to change it to name followed by a colon. And when I change it to name followed by a colon, it takes that name and puts it up here. So I now have name followed by a colon up there. Okay. The next thing I'm going to do is bring over text box. So I come over here and I click on text box. I drag it up and I put it up there. So now I have a text box. Okay, and I'm going to label that TXT name because I'm going to type the name into that text box. So I'm calling it TXT, capital N-A-M-E, text name. I want it to be empty for now, so I'm not putting any text property in. I'm not saying show something. I want it to be empty because I want the user to enter something in. Okay? Now, the next thing I'm going to put up here is a button. So I'm going to go and grab the button and put that up. I'm going to go to the name and call it BTN, capital C, L-I-C-K. So button click is what I'm calling it. Okay, because this is the button I want people to click. So I'm calling it BTN, capital C, L-I-C-K. And if you forget the C, you've got the button that they should lick. Which I did on one of the things, wrote on one of them. Okay, so button one down here, I'm changing its text to click. And as soon as I do that, I now have click on the button. So this is going to tell the user that they should click that. Okay, so I put click up there. Now I'm going to put one more text box in. And I'm putting the text box down here, and I'm going to name that text message. So I now have a message there, so that's labeled text message.
That was another text box?
Yes. So I grabbed another text box and brought it over here, and I'm calling it a TXT message. Okay? So now I've got a form that has two text boxes, one label, and one click event. Okay? So that's what my form looks like. Anybody need any help? Okay.
For the putting of the design, I'm on the second text box.
Yep.
So I would jot down TXT2 or 2?
I called it TXT message.
For under his name?
I mean, what I've got over here under its name is TXT message. Okay, you just came in. You want to hand that back to him and get him to sign? And then give it to me? Yeah, give him a pencil too, will you? I guess when you walk into a computer room, you don't think of a pencil as a necessity.
My daughter's in my bag.
Yes, and pencils are fun to play with. Okay, so now I've got this. Now I want to tell the computer what to do. Okay, thank you. So I am going to double click on the click button. So double click on this. And look what comes up. It is
something scary.
No. It is an event. Okay, so button click is the name of the button. That's the name I gave the button. So whatever you call the button name will come up there. And this is an event. This is the click event, which means when they click, this is what's going to happen. And notice over here it says it handles button click when I click it. So it handles the clicking. Okay? So this is an event that will handle the clicking. So what I have to do now is put in the code that I want there. So it set it up for me. It said this is a private subroutine, meaning it belongs to this program. And there's the end of the subroutine. And now you get to write the code you want to happen in the middle. Well, what I want to do is I want to put something in text message. So I'm writing text message. Now notice as soon as I start writing it, Microsoft helps me. And it puts up text message there. And I can click on it if I want to. Okay? So I can click on this and it puts it up, or I can just keep typing. Now what I want to change is the text property. On the label, we change the text property ourselves in the properties.
What's that little thing between? Is it just a hyphen or?
Dot.
Okay, it's a dot. I can't see from here.
It's a dot. And on the button, I wrote the word click under text. But I left the text boxes empty. So now I want to put something into the text boxes, which means I want to put something into the text property of the text boxes. I want to put it into the text property. Because as you'll see, we have color properties, we have all kinds of properties. I want to change the content. And the content is done through the text property. So I am saying here, message text.text. Now, if I should go away and click someplace else, it tells me I'm not done. And see how it tells me? It puts that curly line underneath. So Microsoft is on top of it, and it will tell me that I've messed up when I mess up. Okay, so now I'm going to say text message equals, and that's the assignment sign. actually. It's not an equal sign, it's an assignment sign. So I'm going to put here what it is I want to put into textmessage.text. So I'm going to say, in quotes, hello, and a space and a close quote. And then I'm putting a plus for concatenate. So, like JavaScript, it uses a plus to concatenate. And then we're going to put text name dot text. Okay? Because what I want to do is say hello to whoever put in their name. So I'm going to say hello to whoever put in their name. Okay? So I'm saying hello to text name dot text. Okay? So now I want to test this and see if it's working. So what I'm going to do at this point is click on that green kind of half a diamond or sideways triangle or whatever you want to think of it right in front of the word start. So I'm clicking on that and my form comes up. That lovely little pen thing is SmartBoard talking. It has nothing to do with Visual Basic. Okay? And I can't seem to get it to decide to go away. Well, maybe it'll go away for a minute, but it will be back. Okay, so I'm going to put in here Susan Ash. That's the person's name. And when I click, it says, hello, Susan Ash. Okay? So when I clicked, it now says, hello, Susan Ash. Did you get hello, Susan Ash, or hello, somebody?
Yes, but I didn't have to click it.
Okay, lucky you. We will try to figure out why. Questions. Did everybody get something to happen?
Yeah. Yeah, so you can just click the button, it'll just say hello without entering the name.
Because, well, that's right. If there's nothing in here, then it's going to be hello concatenated with a space. And so that's what you'll see. Because I have a combination of the literal and the content of the text box. Yeah.
So when we double click the button that we've made, the line that puts it is already just saying when this is clicked, do this.
That's right.
So we don't have to write that in just
double click. No. Because this is the click event associated with that button. And so when I click that button, it will say hello to whoever I said. Is it working now?
Yeah.
Okay. It will say hello to whoever I said. Okay? So now I want to, that's kind of small, so I'm going to make it bigger. So I go over to the form. Now notice up here at the top, I have the design, that brings up the form. Form 1VV brings up the code, design code. I can go back and forth between them. Okay, so now what I want to do is I want to change some properties. And I want to change properties of the message box. So I click on the message box on the form, and it brings up text message. Okay, whatever I click on, it will bring up. So I'm decided that I want to change the font. So I am clicking on the font. And notice the three little dots to the side? I'm going to click on those three little dots.
Wait, how did you bring that up?
It's in the properties. I just went scrolling looking for font. Okay? I clicked on text message, and then it gives me the properties for text message. And I clicked on font. Okay, so I'm clicking on the three dots, and it gives me all this information about the font. So I'm going to say I want it to be bold 14. Okay, so I want to make the font bold, and I want to make it size 14, as opposed to I think it was size 8. And then I click on OK, and I'm going to run it again. And this time I'm putting in John Doe, and when I click, it now says, hello, John Doe, and the font has been changed to bold, and it is size 14. So I can change the look and feel of these things. Okay. Now I'm going to close it again, and I'm going to look for font color. So I'm going to click on font color. And I click on that little diamond that goes down, and I click on custom. It comes up with custom, web, or system. I'm clicking on custom, and I'm going to make the font red. So I'm clicking on red. Okay? So now if I run it, okay, guys, I've got too much competition. If I put in here Bob Smith and I click, I now say, hello, Bob Smith. And the font is 14, it is red, and it is bold. Okay? I can also go in, if I just click some blank space on the form, notice it says Form 1, and I'm going to change the background color. So I go to back color, click on the little diamond, click on custom, and I click on kind of a beige. So now I have a background color for my font, for my form rather. Okay? So what I would like you to do now is play with this a little so we can help people that aren't started. I want you to put on a major. So put up a field that's going to take in major and have a second click event that will say you are in such and such a major or something like that. So that you can say, Susan Ash, you are in such and such a major or something on that order. Okay? So I want you to play with this. And so if you put in a box up here for major, okay, and then you can use the same click one, or you could put in another click, but it has to have a different name, and then you could say name, and then concatenated with you are in, and then put the major. Only you're obviously going to call them text name and text major and all the rest. That's pseudocode. That's not Visual Basic code. Okay? So just play around with this. Try to add some things to it. You can start fresh if you want to, but try to do something with it. I think you'll find this is a lot easier than Visual Basic. I give you JavaScript. I give you the hard one first, and then we take the easier one.
JavaScript is the worst. It
takes time.
Yeah.
Say that again.
The text color from for the output.
The text color, it has to be done for each individual box. So you click on the box, and then you go to four color.
Okay.
F-O-R-E color. For the foreground as opposed to the background.
All right, got it.
Is that email okay?
Oh,
yeah. I usually I sent you one for parental distribution, and then I sent you the second one as a list of the things you need.
I need to make it bigger. Look.
I don't
have all the fine text. Well, I want to fix it
up.
What did you change it to? And you can move it around all you want.
That's good. These two, this was a complete mistake. This, you just click. Oh, from that?
Yeah.
You,
I don't know why you call it.
Oh, well, you gotta X out of it. And all the way you raise on your taskbar. So you can click this through Windows at the bottom.
It doesn't matter what you call it. Oh,
okay. I had an X out of it.
As long as you're consistent,
oh, that's what you yeah. Yeah, I was wondering that too. I'm sure you can just alt tab.
Yeah, you could do a second button and you could just fix up the first Questions?
I had just erased it, but I think I did what you did where you were adding it. I thought it was like an 8. So I'm trying to do the text message.
And you have to put it plus it, did you?
Yeah, right here.
Okay.
I think I have to read.
No, you won't say text equals.
And your code.
No. It's all assigned to text message. So you're basically...
So how do you add in more after you say the hello name?
Well, that's what I'll do in a minute. Closing clear. Okay, so if you decide you want just one, you can say plus you are in the... Or your major is, or something like that. Your major is, and then concatenate it with, and you're going to put text major.txt there. Okay? So you can say it like that, where you're saying, hello, da-da, your major is da-da. Now, this isn't going to work for me, because I don't have textmajor.txt yet. And notice how it underlines textmajor? Because I don't have it. But if I go back to my form and I put in another text box and I call it textmajor, then it's happy. So now it doesn't underline it. And if I run this,
message to her.
Yeah, I'll work now.
Yep. It should now have John Doe and CI. Wait a minute, what did I just do? CI. And I click, and it says, John Doe, your major is, except that I can't really read it because I made it too big. So I need to fix that, but it does say the right thing. Now, one of the ways I can fix it is to go back to the form and expand this a little. And I can expand the whole form if I want to, so that I've got plenty of room. And now if I run it, and English, CI, notice you can't hit the tab because of the order that you put things on. So I'm clicking and it says, hello, Ann English, your major is CI. Yeah. That's what I just said. Well, because you added the things in order. Actually, it's kind of interesting, if you're interested. That's two questions in a row about the tab. If you look at, I entered name, and if you look at the tab stop, tab index is 1 on that. Okay, tab index is 1. When I entered the label, which is the first thing I added, the tab index is 0. When I entered the click, the tab index is 2. When I added the message box at the bottom, the tab index is 3. When I entered this one for the major, the tab index is 4. So, what I need to do is go in and change that one to 2, and change the one that was, and change the tab indexes. Okay, because the tab index is, if you want to use the tab, you gotta have the tab indexes set up to go where you wanna go. The default is the tab index is gonna go in the order that you put the things on the form. Okay? But you can, you're welcome to change the tab index so that you can use the tab. Okay, so this one I want to have be 2. And this one, I want to be 4. And let's see if that's, that one should be 3 now.
Okay.
So let's see, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. So now if I run it, Amy Costa, tab down, CI, tab down, and I get the click, and it fills it in. Okay, so that tab index is a helpful thing if you want to do the tab. Did you get it working?
I came with errors. It just got crazy.
Questions?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure
out.
Like, I know how to do all the
I didn't mine, and it just came in false.
Pardon me?
I didn't mine, and it came as false.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see the code. So click on that. There it is. Message equals hello plus text name dot text plus text message dot text plus your major. Okay, you got to get rid of text message dot text equals, because you're putting it all in one place. And get rid of the equals too. You got to get out of run mode.
Okay,
so get rid of the equals. That's right.
This one too?
Nope. You have to have the first one. Several of you in writing this have wanted to duplicate text message.txt. Okay. Textmessage.txt is the place that is receiving the answer. And these place things are the things you want to put in it. Okay? So you don't repeat textmessage.txt, because I want to concatenate all that stuff together and put it in textmessage.txt. I just want to concatenate it all together. Okay, what I want you to do now is download a program that I have, which if you go to my programs, I want you to download firstmath.zip. So download that and unzip it, please. Firstmath.zip. Okay, so download that and unzip it.
Where can we find it?
Under programs, and my home page under programs. So click on programs and then click on firstmath.zip and download it. Okay, if you right click on it, you can save link as, which is what I did, and then unzip it. Or you can download it, save it, and unzip it. But I just do the save link as, and it lets me save it that way. Okay, so download firstmath.zip and unzip it.
Okay, which part of the program can you find firstmath.zip?
Pardon me?
I said which part?
Well, under Visual Basic. Now, these say Visual Basic 2010. They work fine in 2012. Okay. So download that, unzip it, and when you get it unzipped, we're going to go into Visual Basic. Okay, first of all, if I want to save this, I want to save the thing that I did. So I'm going to click on File, Save All. Okay, guys, wait a minute, because I want you to hear this. File, Save All, and I can save everything. Yeah.
Which program did you put on?
First Math. I'm just back right now getting rid of the one I had. But I'm downloading FirstMath. So now I'm going to close solution because I'm done with this project. And it goes back to a point where I can load another one. So I'm going to say File, Open Project. Instead of New Project, I'm saying File, Open Project. And I am going to look for the one I just downloaded. And it was called FirstMath, and there it is. So I'm opening FirstMath. Now the thing I want to open is the SLM. So keep clicking on FirstMath wherever you saved it until you see the SLM. The SLM is what I'm going to open, and I click on it, and it's now opened. Okay, now, if it didn't open for you, double-click on the thing that says Form Math VB, because when I did it the first time, it didn't bother to open in the window. But I have already looked at this, so it did. And if I go back to the design, you may just have the design. But if you click on any button, it will come up with the form as well. Yeah. Okay, click on that. If it's not showing, you can double-click on this, or you can play around with the arrow, and that will usually open it. Okay, so I've now got one that I set up. And notice I've got a couple of labels, I got a couple of text boxes, and I've got an add, subtract, multiply, divide, and a couple of questions. So I put a load of buttons on here to do a load of things. So if I decide to run this, okay, I brought up the code so you can see the code. So if I decide to run this, and let's say I want to do an add, I put in a 5 and a 6, and I say add, and it comes up with 11. Now, notice the add. The add has that same problem that I had in JavaScript, in that a plus can mean add, and a plus can mean concatenate. And that's the same problem I had. So here I'm using C-I-N-T, where I use parse integer or parse float in JavaScript. I'm using C-I-N-T, which means convert to integer. You can also have a convert to decimal if you have a decimal number, or convert to double, DBL, which also converts to a half of decimal. So you can convert to decimal with a CDEC or a CDBL, because double is a kind of decimal. Okay, so I put two numbers in and I said add, and it gave me the result. Okay, if I put two numbers in and say subtract, then it does the subtract and gives me a negative one. Multiply gives me 30, divide gives me 0.83333333333 forever, okay? So basically, those are my problems. So for each of my buttons, I double-clicked on it, and then I wrote textanswer.text equals, and I put in the addition, the subtraction, the multiply, and the divide, so that it will do every one of those that I asked it to do. Okay. Questions?
No. Yeah, how do I go back to the how do I switch to the screen where I can see all the I can just double click on anything?
I close this and then I go to design and I can see it. Design brings up the screen. Okay? So up here at the top where it says design, I get to see the screen. Where it just says form math, I get to see the form.
Oh, okay. First I had to, when I loaded it up, there was nothing in the middle. Weird. So I had to double click on the side.
Thanks.
Thank you. Solution Explorer to get into the middle first.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I didn't follow you, but if it worked, I'm happy.
Yeah, in the middle it was just completely blank.
Oh, all right, yes. If you play around with this and play around with the diamond or the half a diamond next to it, you can get it up. Okay. So I have an add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Now, question one, if I run this and I click on question one, and I put in a 66, okay, and a 66, and I hit question one, it tells me they are the same. If I put in here a 6, and I click on question one, it tells me they are different. So I'm going to stop this by clicking the little square up here. Or I could have clicked the X on the form. Either one stops it. And I'm going to look at question one. I'm going to not look at question two and three. We will look at those on Thursday before or after the speakers come in. So I am going to look at question one. And question one asks a very simple question. Is what's in the first box equal to what's in the second box? And if the answer is yes, it puts out the word same, and if the answer is not equal, it puts out the word different. So that's your very basic if statement. Okay, that's a very basic if statement. Notice that comparing does not use the double equal sign like we did in JavaScript. Visual Basic figures out in context whether you are doing an assignment or whether you're doing a comparison equal. Okay, so it figures it out for you and you don't have to worry about that. Questions? So that's how you do a simple if statement. Notice the if, the condition is not in parentheses. It was in JavaScript, it's not here. And it has the word then on it. Okay? I forget the word then all the time. But this version of Visual Basic actually adds it in for you. It fixes it for you because apparently I wasn't the only one that forgot the word then. Okay? So it adds it in for you.
Did this come after JavaScript?
I don't know that. JavaScript is more of a C breakdown, and this is a little different than C. You notice that in the if statement, for example, and that's, I'm glad you asked that question, the if is ended with an end if. There are no curly braces in this language. The if has an end if. Okay? So there are two schools of languages, one that's very much curly brace and all the rest, and one that is very much end if and that sort of thing. Basic has been around forever, but Visual Basic, the way, I don't know, maybe 20 years, I don't remember how long it's been around. Okay, your assignment is going to be to redo the JavaScript assignment one, only doing it in Visual Basic. Okay, so I want you basically to write it, and the reason for this is I want you to compare. I want you to compare how you wrote it in JavaScript with how you write it in Visual Basic. Okay, so what I'm going to suggest is that you can get started on that, or in the last class, for some reason we ended a lot earlier, I had them do a simple program where they put up the pay and the hours worked and calculated the pay. And so if you and said they should check the hours and see if it was greater than 40, if it was, do overtime. But if you prefer, you can just start working on the assignment, which is going to be to do those JavaScript problems. But essentially, I want you to spend the next, 13 minutes or whatever, actually writing something. So you can just bring up the JavaScript assignment and do that, or you can play around with doing something with payroll. Okay. But I'm going to have you, and no, you do not have to pass in the flowchart with this because you've already passed them in with the JavaScript. And the flowchart is the same for any language. The flowchart is just the logic. And so the flowchart that you wrote for JavaScript should be the same as the flowchart you would write for this. I should have also mentioned that when you do a file save, let me bring it up. I called it the first. Okay, so if you go and look at the first, which is the one I did originally, you will see that it's got an SLN, it's got an SUO, and it's got a directory with a bunch of other stuff in it. So what you have to do is you have to zip this up and send me the zip folder. So zip up the folder, Okay, take that folder and zip up that folder. And then send me the zip of that folder. So that I can download the folder and get all the parts and then run them. Okay? So you're going to send me 5 zipped programs. Okay? 1 for each of them, but they're each going to be a zipped file that you're sending me. Yes?
So you want us to do a flowchart in Visual Basic?
No, I just said. No, the flowchart that you did before you wrote this in JavaScript is the logic flowchart, and it works for any language. And so it works for JavaScript and it works for Visual Basic.
So what are we doing exactly?
You're writing the program.